welcome to Next Level. It's great to have you guys here. My name is Robbie, and tonight is different from our weekend, and that's tonight is more like we're going to the gym. Tonight is a workout. So we're going to sing songs that talk to God about God's goodness, His character, and despite our current situation, hey guys, come on in. If you're just sitting there in the back, get your fannies down here. It's time to start a workout. Hey, we're going to sing songs about God's truth, about his name, his character, his fame, his kingdom advancing. And we're going to say about our own situation, that doesn't matter right now. The way I feel right now does not matter. I'm going to the gym because it's 6:05. That's what people who are in shape do or getting in shape. They go to the gym. So stand up. Hey, another thing real quick. We're doing some filming for some cool stuff that we're doing around here. So you're going to see some folks walking around with giant cameras. Just do your thing. Don't fret about that, all right? Just let them kind of roll up and down the aisles or come around. Totally fine. Just close your eyes or whatever you got to do, all right? So we've been playing this song a little bit. We're going to sing this song a little bit more. The chorus goes like this.
Shout aloud to our King. Come, let us worship God, lifting holy hands, bless His name.
Let's do that again.
Come, let us sing. Come, let us sing for joy. Let us shout aloud.
Bless His name.
bless his name. Sing every creature.
Let every creature in heaven and earth below bless his name. Bless his name.
And every creature.
Let every creature in heaven and earth below bless his name.
Yeah, bless his name.
And every creature in heaven and earth below bless his name. Bless his name.
Breathe in the air, shine, shine in the light.
matchless King. Worship the King. God, we say you are so worthy. Yeah, we clap for that. And we're clapping for you. We say you are so worthy. We want our voices and our lives to proclaim the goodness of who you are. And we're here tonight to train ourselves to represent your kingdom even better. It's because we want to be like your son Jesus so badly. We're here. Make us yours. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Sweet, guys. Why don't you have a quick seat? We'll invite C. Mingo up here.
Woo! Well, what is going on in Oakley and Florence? It is so good to be with you guys for Next Level. And I don't know if you realize it or not, but something that was said is so true. We get them together. It's like coming to the gym. And so when we sing these songs of praise, I know for me, it just orients me in the right place to receive from God. Am I the only one that, like, I need that? I need to come in an environment, and I need to be reminded, no matter what my day entails, that I serve the matchless King. I need that reminder. I need to know that he is beautiful and that to bless his name is the best thing that I can do with my life, with my time, with my words, with my actions. I need that. So I don't know about you, but I'm pretty warmed up. I'm feeling pretty warmed up for what God is doing tonight. And I'm just excited to be with all of you in the midst of this. You know, tonight is going to be a lot like going to the gym. Because as we've been doing Next Levels now for a couple months, we're realizing that, you know, as much as I hope you're encouraged and strengthened by the teaching that you get here, really, this is for folks who said yes to Jesus, and what we need to do is we need to exercise and act on what we hear outside of an environment like this. So what we're going to do tonight is really bring more of the elements that really make Next Level what it is into this experience. Particularly, we've got a slide that talks about kind of how we think about Next Level. Next Level is really about three things. It's about exposure, which happens in here. It's about experiments, which you do out there, typically. Every time you come here, I tell people you get homework. And we want you to do that because it'll help you put into practice what you've heard. And then finally, there's elements of exchange. Many of us are in groups where we connect with another person or another three or four people and process what it is that we're learning as we experiment with what we're hearing at Next Level and what we're actually trying. And so tonight, we're actually going to bring more of those elements into this environment. So there's going to be a lot of experimentation tonight. And there's going to be some exchange tonight. And so I'm excited about that. I really am pumped up about that. I think you will be encouraged because here's what I believe. I believe that every person that is listening to me right now, before we finish our time, is going to hear a fresh word from God for you. Who's up for that? Who is up for that? And so we're going to do an experiment with that later on tonight. But I just want to know, who's ready to grow? Who's ready to grow? Who's ready to go to the next level? Awesome. Well, one of the things that we're going to do a couple times tonight is we're going to buddy up. We're going to buddy up. That's right. Will Smith and Martin Lawrence. Yes, we're going to buddy up tonight. And we're going to have a chance to process some of what we have been experiencing at Next Level and some of what we experienced tonight with another person. So right now, both at Oakley and at Florence, I want you to find a person, typically a person, preferably a person you didn't come with. I want you to find them. And you're going to have a bit of a dialogue with them. And it's time to get honest with somebody tonight. So I just want you to know that. And I think sometimes it's better to process that with a stranger than maybe somebody you came with. And so tonight, I want you to get up at our sites, find another person. And once you find that person, I'll tell you what your question is going to be. The first thing you're going to do to interact with this person. So find a partner, buddy up. Florence, Oakley, buddy up. All right. I'm going to assume that everybody has a buddy. If you need to jump into a person of three group, go ahead and do that. Everybody should have at least one other person to talk to, preferably a partner. But if there's three of you, that's totally fine. Here's the first question. This is just a warm-up question. Here's the first question you're going to talk about. I'm going to give you 2 minutes, so be brief. That means 1 minute per person. I'm going to give you 2 minutes to answer this question. The question is this: how long have you been following Jesus, and why are you here tonight? So go ahead and share that. 1 minute for the first person, another minute for the second person. All right, if you haven't already, switch. The second person should be sharing their answer to the question. Okay, I'm gonna jump in so we can keep things moving tonight. I'll just tell you, you're gonna talk to that person again. So get comfortable with that. You'll be revisiting your new friend again. Let me back up and give a little bit of context, because we may have some people who are new to Next Level. So if you are like a first timer at Next Level, all the people who've been here before, let's just give it up for all the new people who are here. And I'll just back up a little bit and tell you, you'll notice one of the strangest things that's probably different from the weekend is you're like, maybe the lights are broken. They are still pretty bright in here. Maybe something's going on both in Florence and in Oakley. No. We keep the lights up a little bit in here because what we really want this to be is a training environment. You know, on the weekends, we really want it to be an environment where people who may be all over the board spiritually can come and wrestle and feel a level of anonymity. But as you can tell tonight, we're buddying up. We're doing something different here. This is really a training ground for all of us who have said yes to Jesus and want to go to the next level, particularly people who were early in that journey with God. So that's why the lights are up. That's why the music is a bit more engaging and intense in terms of, hey, we'll sing songs over and over again. We'll repeat lyrics over and over again because we're really using these songs to warm up. We're using these songs to bring us into the presence of a living and vibrant God. So that's why we do that at Next Level. And I'm just excited that you're here. And tonight, we're going to continue to talk about what we've been talking about for months now in Next Level, which is how to receive from God. And the reason is because that really is square one. If you're in relationship with Jesus, until you learn how to receive from him, you really can't go any further. The whole relationship is based on us recognizing our desperate need for something we can't provide ourselves. And that's what it means to receive Jesus. And we continue to be in that posture of receiving. So we've been talking about that. And tonight we're going to exercise those muscles a bit more. Let me just pray before I dive in. God, I thank you for the way that you set this up. As a person who wants to be independent, as a person who really wants to do it on my own, I thank you that I am constantly reminded that my relationship with you is totally one-sided. You don't need anything from me, and I desperately need you for everything. And when I remember that, I get blessed because it helps me to come to you hungry and to want to receive from you. And so tonight, I pray that every person in here who has come to the understanding that without you, we can do nothing, would be in a position and would receive from you tonight. And I ask this in Jesus' name. And I know it's going to happen because you promise it. So I ask it in confidence, knowing we will receive. Amen. 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 So as we've been talking about receiving, we've kind of looked at the fact that this is mentioned over and over in the Bible, and there's a couple of key metaphors that the Bible uses to talk about what it looks like to receive from God. So we're going to revisit some of these things tonight. One is, we talked about the fact that the Bible describes God and as a shepherd, Jesus as a shepherd, and us as sheep. Right? We're sheep. And in the same way that sheep are utterly dependent on their shepherd, so are we dependent on God. Jesus talks about this in John chapter 10, where he says this, "I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep." That's what Jesus says. "I am willing to die for them. My sheep know me, and I know them." Two things here I want to just emphasize. Number one, Jesus knows you. Jesus knows you. I'm not saying that in the macro sense, like Jesus knows us. Yes, he knows us, but he knows you. 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 He knows everything about you. He knows all your quirks. He knows all your hopes. He knows all your dreams. He knows you, and he loves you. He loves you. But the second thing is this. It says, they know me. Jesus' sheep know him. They know his emotional state. They know the things that are on his heart. They know the things that make him smile. They know the things that make him cry. And so the question is, do you know that about Jesus? Do you know Jesus at that intimate level? Can I just be honest? We're all friends, right? My knowledge of Jesus is so inadequate for what it could be. I need to know him better. I need to know him better. And if I'm honest, if I go all the way there, the truth is, sometimes I need to just be more interested in learning of him so that I can know him better. So maybe I'm the only person that needs this, but I just think, you know what? Confession is good for the soul, and it's actually receiving in real time. When we can recognize places in our life that are inconsistent with what Jesus says is truth, i.e., I should know him, I just confess that. So you can join me in this prayer if you want, but I want to pray that I would know him better. So Jesus, I just confess that I don't know you like I should. I don't know you like I should. And sometimes my desire to know you is weak. And so Jesus, I pray that you would help me want to know you better and help me to know how to do that. I confess that that is an area of my life that I need to grow in and I want to grow in because you're a good shepherd. And as your sheep, I want to know you. And God, for everyone who would join me in that prayer right now, I just pray that you would hear our confession and that you would allow us to receive more of the knowledge of you, even in this moment tonight. Amen. Amen. So that's a great setup. If you confess that, if you're willing to kind of own that, you're in a great place to receive tonight. I just want you to know that right now. Like, awesome. You could go home right now and you would be blessed. You really could. Because you have confessed something, and that opens up an opportunity for the Lord to fill you up. But one of the other images that we see in the scriptures about receiving from God is this idea of a vine and us being branches. It says this in John 15, 4 through 5. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. You can do nothing. Now, here's the truth. Again, this is all about confession. This is all about us coming and being honest before a Jesus who knows us anyway. How many people are willing to admit there are a lot of things that you do in your life that you actually think you can do without Jesus? That you actually do. You try to do them without his help. Okay, there's like 10 honest people here tonight. I'm so glad that you came. If you were honest, I just want to thank you. I want to try this again. Florence, I'm sure in Florence all the hands went up, but I just want to try this again. How many people are willing to admit there are things in my life I try to do as if I can do them without God? Look at that. Praise God. I am so glad to be in relationship with honest people. You know what? The truth is we all have that. We try to do things on our own. You know what? One of the things that I was convicted about as I was thinking about this is I believe that I can actually teach the Bible without God's help. And no way I can. It's easy to fall into that trap. You know, so, oh, man, I've been following Jesus a long time. Hey, and let me tell you, every time, whether I'm interacting with the person in my office about a need that they have or whether I'm speaking to you guys tonight, I need Jesus. I need Jesus to bring truth. I need Jesus to be clear. I need Jesus to say anything that is helpful in any way to anybody else's spiritual journey, including mine. And it's healthy to remember that. So I told you you're going to be spending some time with your buddy. And I told you you're going to get a chance to kind of get honest with someone else tonight. I want you to go back. I want you to find your buddy. And I'm going to give you 2 minutes to confess. What is one area that you tried to do without Jesus' help? One area in your life you're trying to do without Jesus' help. So go. I know you're really excited about this now, right? Oh, man. I'd have picked a different person if I knew I was going to come this way. So, yes, same person, 2 minutes. Just confess it. Just confess it. 2 minutes. What is that thing for you? All right, don't be a confession hog. Go ahead and switch. Your partner should have a chance to confess their area now. All right, so here's what I want you to do. Stay with your partner. Stay with your partner. Stay with your partner. I want to read a scripture to you. James 5, verse 16 says this. It says, "Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed." How many of us would love to be healed of the desire to try to be independent from Jesus in that particular area of our life? Hey, it can happen right now. We're going to be obedient to the scriptures. It says confess your sins. You've done that. It also says pray for one another. So I want you to pray for your partner, and I just want you to pray a simple prayer that just says, "Jesus, I pray that you would heal," whatever my partner's name is, "of this area where they're not depending on you. Bring them into a place of receiving you as a good shepherd in this space in their life." You don't have to pray those exact words, but something like that, I want you to pray. I want you to pray that for your partner now. Go ahead, take a minute each and pray for your partner. Go ahead and switch roles if you haven't already so that everybody gets a chance to be prayed for. Go ahead and switch roles. Come on.
I wanted to do this the other night. I didn't get a chance to.
I thank you for my brother Chuck here.
Well, I don't know about you. I got prayed for, and it was awesome. I hope you were blessed in that. It was awesome just to see people connecting and praying in that way. Yes, I can see through the screen, and I have seen that, and it's awesome to see that. I just thank God for that. Now let me just tell you, you're working out tonight. You're exercising tonight. You're receiving tonight. You're receiving tonight. And that's why we just, I just know that in my relationship with Jesus, you know, I was talking to somebody about this just before today. I said, you know, we could do a 12-part series on hearing from God. You know, and we could have all kinds of messages. I could walk you all through the Bible, through every time somebody heard from God. It wouldn't have the same effect on your relationship with Jesus as if you try to hear from Jesus 12 times. And so what we're trying to do is begin to allow us to come to places where we practice what it is that we hear. Because what we said is if you just listen and you don't act, you actually can become deceived. But I don't want you to deceive. I don't want you to be deceived. I want you to receive. I want you to know how it sounds to hear God's voice. And so that's why we do what we do in settings like this. And in fact, we're going to do more. I want to share with you something that God has been teaching me about abiding. That was one of the things that we talked about recently. And God has really been kind of unpacking this lesson for me since the beginning of the summer. So I knew going into the summer that in the fall, right now, that we were going to be doing a financial campaign. We're going to be doing the I'm In campaign. And it starts, and I'm telling you, you do not want to miss Vision Weekend, October 17th and 18th. Tickets go on sale tomorrow morning. Do not miss Vision Weekend. I'm just telling you, it's going to be powerful, powerful. Probably one of the most meaningful weekends in the history of Crossroads. You don't want to miss it. And I knew that. I knew that this would be a busy, busy season. We're doing a series of meetings, interacting with people, just sharing vision about the campaign. And that started for me already. We're going to have a 5-week series that we kind of go deeper dive with the whole community on this. And so I knew this would be a busy season. And Jesus knew, too. Remember that thing about Jesus knows his sheep? He knew, too. And so he began to deposit some things in me that I needed to receive. And one of the things was I regularly have a rhythm of spending time with God. That's not a new thing for me. But I felt like Jesus wanted to make it very clear to me that my priority in the time that I spend with him has to be his presence. Not even new insights from the Bible. Not even powerful prayer. Both of those things are happening regularly in my time with him. But the priority needed to be encountering his presence. Coming to a place in that time with God, be it 5 minutes, 15 minutes, 30 minutes, an hour, whatever the time is, that I encounter him, that I could walk away from that time saying, I've spent time with God, and I heard something from him, or I felt something from him. He taught me something. He encouraged me in this way. I spent time with him, and so this has been something that has been just a theme in my life, and particularly in my time with God, now for months, for months, and it kind of ties into this whole idea of abiding, because what I realized is, in my flesh, in my humanness, in trying to be independent from Jesus, in my sinfulness, when I go into a busy season, it's very easy for me to try to power up and really live on yesterday's bread and just muscle through the busy season. And I'm just telling you, that has never worked for me in the past. And so I really felt like Jesus was saying, I want you to do this differently. I want you to be in a rhythm where the priority for you every day is not the insight in the word that you need to give to people. I'll give you that, but I want you to prioritize my presence. So one of the things that I begin to do in my quiet time is just read about places in the Bible where it talks about seeking God's face. Because in essence, when it's talking about seeking his face, what it means is seeking his presence. It doesn't mean like, you know, wait till you see the image of God's face somewhere. If you see that, that's awesome. If it shows up on your toast, amazing. Take a picture, Instagram it. I'd love to see it. I'd love to see it. That's not what that means in the Bible, though. What it means in the Bible is experiencing and encountering his presence, coming to a place where there is a focused awareness, a conscious awareness of who God is and the fact that he is near, and listening for his voice, listening for anything that he might want to impress on you. And so he's really been taking me on a journey with this. One of the scriptures that's been really helpful is Psalm 105:4, just a constant refrain. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his presence continually. And I think there's a connection there between the strength of God. How many people want strength for the work that they have to do, for being a parent, being all that stuff, right? We need his strength. But what this verse is telling us is great. You want his strength? Then seek his presence continually, continually. Not just once. Not living on yesterday's bread. Not living on last month's next level. But living in a continual place where you're receiving more and more of the presence of God. So when I come to God in my time with him, that's my priority. And so I actually want to model that for you guys. I want to spend time with God in front of you, which is really weird. That's really, you know, It feels very intimate to do that, but I just know for me it was really helpful when people who had a way of encountering God's presence just modeled it for me. I can remember my friend Jim coming over to my apartment when I first moved to Cincinnati, started coming to Crossroads, and literally we just spent time with God together. And he just kind of said, hey, here's what I'm thinking right now, here's what I'm doing right now. And that was so helpful for me. My friend Chuck Moore, who many of you know, before Chuck, I had probably kept 5 journals. Since my relationship with Chuck, I have like 50 journals, or it feels like 50 journals. I mean, I journal all the time. Why? Because he actually let me into how that's a part of how he experiences God. And it's changed my relationship with God. It's changed how I encounter and experience God's presence. So I want to model that for you guys. I want to just spend time with God in front of you and just give you a way I do it. Doesn't make it the right way at all. There are a million ways to do it. It's unique to every person. I just want to share with you how I do it. And then after that, I'm going to give you an opportunity to do it. You up for that? So, like I said, this is workout time tonight. So, I usually don't spend time with God on a high-top table in a chair like this. So, they set up this nice little chair for me to kind of step into. I wish I had a leather chair at my house to spend time with God. I don't have that either, but my sectional would have been too cumbersome to bring here. So, for me, when I spend time with God, there's a couple kind of essentials. One is a journal for me, and this is the journal I'm currently using, and I'm almost done with this one. I need to get another one. And recently, I've been bringing my Bible. iPad is fine, and I typically bring my Bible. I just find for me, sometimes the digital is a little bit too distracting. It's too tempting to go other places that I don't need to go in that moment. And so for me, I've been going back to good old paper Bible. So if I have a Bible, a journal, and a pen, I'm good to go. But one of the things that I have been doing recently is I need a warm-up. I typically do this in the morning. And I need a warm-up time. And for me, music is just, it just works for me. And so a lot of times there are songs that just kind of stick in my spirit. And I'll just play those in the morning and just use those as a warm-up. And one of them that's been sticking with me really since the summer is a song that comes on the radio a whole lot. It's called Holy Spirit. And so I think we've got a little recording of it. I mean, this is if I'm starting in the morning, this is a very typical way for me to start my time with God, is just to sit in some truth, sung to music, and kind of orient myself in his direction. So we can go ahead and play that now.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence.
I'm going to write in my journal is just that line from that song, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. God, as I spend this time with you in front of a bunch of other people, I just want to be with you. And I believe I can be with you in front of a bunch of other people. So you're welcome here, Holy Spirit, like in me, to speak to me about anything that you want to speak to me about. Nothing is closed off from you, and I just want to receive from you. I want to be the chief receiver tonight. If I can be that, I want to be that, because you have so many good things to give me, and the most important is you've given me yourself. So I want your presence. I want to experience your presence. One of the things that I often do in the morning, it's kind of like a little game, is I'll just number from 1 to 10. And I'll just say, in the last 24 hours, what are all of the things that I have to be thankful for in the last 24 hours? And so at the top of my list, this isn't going to sound like a gratitude until I tell you the rest of it. So I woke up this morning to a backed up drain in our basement and in our shower. That was not something to be thankful for. But I'm thankful that it's fixed. I'm thankful that God has given us financial resources to take care of that. That hasn't always been the case in our life. But I'm thankful plumbing is fixed. I can take a shower somewhere other than Crossroads tomorrow. That's great. I'm really thankful for Maria. Just in a good season of being connected. You know, in a busy season like this, for us to be as connected, God, I really thank you for that. I really, really do. Dude, Robbie leading worship. I am really thankful for Robbie leading worship tonight. And just that song that we sung, just the energy. Man, that was a good warm-up song. And I'm just really, really thankful for that. Thankful that you speak. That you speak to me. Like, specifically. Thank you for that. You've been reminding me of how much I've been rescued. I'm thankful that I'm rescued. My life was forfeit, and I didn't deserve rescue, but in your grace, you rescued me. I'm really thankful for that, God. And God, I'm thankful for your word. I'm thankful for your word. I am thankful that every time I open it up, it's fresh to me. In fact, tonight, if you have a Bible with you, or if you have a smartphone, you have access to a Bible. Why don't you find Colossians, the book of Colossians. It's in the New Testament of the Bible. It's a short book. It's actually a short letter. Go ahead and find that. I just finished reading Philippians, which is the book right before it, and started jumping into Colossians, but I haven't jumped into chapter 2 yet. So I just wanted to read that. And receive. So I'll give you guys a second to find Colossians chapter 2. And I'll just start reading. It says, I want you to know how much I am struggling for you and for those at Laodicea, for all who have not met me personally. My purpose is that they may be encouraged in heart, and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ. All right, that's a lot. One of the things that I do when I read the Bible like that is my goal is not to get through a whole chapter. Interesting. God, you're giving me an example as a pastor here. Paul says, I was struggling for you. God, you want me to be struggling for the people at Crossroads that I get the privilege of serving. And the purpose is so that they can be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ. So something, there's riches, there's something rich about completely understanding what we have in Christ. I'm just going to write a question in my journal. What is the meaning of the full riches of Christ? Lord, unpack this for me. But there's that theme of knowing. The full riches of complete understanding, that we would know, that we would experience the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments, for though I am absent from you in body, I am present with you in spirit, and delight to see how orderly you are and how firm your faith is in Christ. So then, just as you've received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. I love this verse. I love this verse. Verse 6 and verse 7. Just as you receive Christ, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthening your faith as you were taught. So how did I receive you? I received you by coming to you. I received you, God, by asking for your help and receiving rescue from you. And I receive you more and more when I encounter your presence, when I spend time with you. Receiving is the way to riches in Christ. God, make me a great receiver. And thank you for being so generous with your wealth. That's pretty cool to think about, that God is so wealthy and yet he's so generous with his wealth, that he actually gives us of his wealth. That's an awesome, awesome thing. I'll stop there just because, man, this could take a while. but I guess what I want to say is, like, when I go into that and I spend time with God that way, I just find that it doesn't matter how many times I've looked at that passage, there's just always more truth to be unpacked there. And I want to kind of give you a little bit of a lift of the curtain. When I go into the scriptures, there's really two questions that I think are just helpful handles for whatever it is that you're trying to encounter with God. The first question is, what does this say about God? What does this say about God? So for me, as I read Colossians 2, isn't it amazing to think that God is wealthy and generous, and he's a father to us? Like, who would love to have a wealthy, generous father? I would. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing that he is wealthy and generous and a father? There's a lot there. There's a lot there. And what does it say about me? It says, okay, if you want the wealth that God has for you, you have to encounter Jesus. Because all of that wealth is all connected to Jesus. Every time in that passage where it talks about wealth, it's saying in Christ. What's the mystery? What's the wealth? The four riches? It's knowing Christ. Later on it says, I'm excited that your faith is firm in Christ. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught and overflowing with thankfulness. So the wealth that God has for us is in Christ. The good shepherd who knows his sheep and who, he says, you can know me. You can access the wealth that I have. So, like I said, there's a million ways to spend time with God. For me, that's a helpful framework. It's just to put myself in a position where I'm kind of clouding out the things. For me, it helps to slow down when I'm reading, and it helps to journal because it keeps me focused. And oftentimes in my journal, I ask those kinds of questions, and it just helps me to go back and reread instead of rushing through what's there. And oftentimes, God meets me in that. I mean, honestly, guys, I've read Colossians 2 before, and I've never come up with any of those insights that I just shared with you. Like, that was really real-time God speaking to me. And there's more there. Like, you better believe tomorrow morning I'm digging into this again. This is awesome. This is good stuff. So I want to give you guys an opportunity to do that. I want to give you about 8 minutes to spend time with God. In this moment, in this time, to spend time with God. We have a slide here. I just want to put it up if this is helpful. For me, this is kind of how this goes. It's like Bible, pen, journal. Bible, pen, and journal is what I need. Oftentimes for me, I do start with music. I don't always start with music, but it just helps open up my heart. That's what I did. And when I read the scripture, I go slow. It takes me a long time to get through Bible books. And I tend to read whole books at a time because I kind of like to be in that stream, and I find that's really helpful for me. instead of jumping around. I mean, I don't do as much devotional reading as I just like sit in the book and let God just kind of speak to me and apply it to my life. Listening and journaling, and then those are the two key questions. Based on what I've read today, based on what I've experienced of you, God, what does this say about you, about your character, about your nature? And what does it say about me? So I'm going to give you about 8 minutes to spend time with God. Where should you go? How about just continue to read in Colossians 2? You already have it open. If you don't, I know we have Bibles in the back, both Florence, I'm sorry, yeah, Florence and Oakley, we have Bibles in the back. So if you don't have a Bible, you can grab one. And for about 8 minutes, I just want to give you some time to connect with God. So maybe you brought a journal. If not, don't worry about it. Just read, and in this time, just ask God to really encounter him and just see if he has anything for you. So 7:56, so about 4-ish or so after 8 o'clock, I'll break back in, and then we're going to have one more interaction with our partner to kind of process what we hear in this moment with God, if anything, and then we'll jump into communion. All right, have fun. I'm going to mine. I'm going to do some more engaging, so enjoy. Who heard from God? Look at that. Look at that. Look at that. And you know what? Maybe in this moment it's not clear that you heard from God. I believe that even if it's just spending time with him and getting comfortable with him, man, that's growth. That is growth, and it is an awesome, awesome thing. And that's what God wants for you. It's what Jesus wants for you when he says he's the good shepherd. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to process the experience with your partner. So I'm going to give you about 3 minutes, minute and a half a person. I just want you to talk to them and say, hey, here's what I experienced in that time. And if you think like, man, I think I heard this from God, I want you to have the courage to share that with another person in faith that you did, in fact, hear from God. So I want you to buddy up one more time with that partner and just share with them, here's what the experience was like for me. Here's what I learned in the midst of that. And if you heard something in that, please share it with that partner. Go ahead. I'll give you 3 minutes to do that. All right, go ahead and switch. Take another minute and a half. Let your partner share what the experience was like for them. All right, all right. Head back to your seat, your spot. Cool. Hey, let me just encourage you guys. I just want to encourage you. When you act on what you just heard tonight, you will bear fruit. You will bear fruit. And this is what it means to receive. This is what it means to abide. I just want to encourage you, you know, my time with God, the time that I spend in His presence, it is a lifeline for me. I cannot imagine my life without it, and it's a lifeline for you too. And here's what I want you to know. You really are a sheep. You really are. That's right. You really are a branch. But you have a good shepherd, and you have a living vine that wants to be life to you. And you don't have to live on yesterday's bread. You don't have to live on last week's bread. You can have daily bread, fresh bread, all the time, and Jesus wants to give it to you. That's good news. That is good news. Man, so put yourself in places where you're stretching and learning how to receive. I would venture to say that in the last, 30, 40 minutes, you have learned something about your Savior that you didn't know before. You know Him better. You'll be able to hear His voice more clearly, and that is awesome. That is awesome. That is exactly what you were designed to do. You tell me if you do this 10 times and you won't know Jesus better. Tell me that you won't. If you do this 1,000 times, you'll be on the fast track of bearing fruit, and you'll be able to lead other people into fruit bearing as well. And guess what? That is God's goal for your life. That's His goal for your life, that you would be fruitful. That you would be fruitful, that you would be able to reproduce in other people the kinds of things that you've experienced of God. And all you have to do is just connect to the vine. All you have to do is be a sheep who follows and listens to the voice of the shepherd. And you can get that. Even Paul had to experience this. We're going to wrap up our time tonight with communion, so I'm going to invite all of our communion servers and volunteers, both at Florence and in Oakley, to come to their stations. We'll have it in the front and also in the back. And I just want to read a scripture that kind of leads into communion. And I love this passage. I love this because it illustrates that Paul, the rock star Paul, who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, understood that the base of his ministry was receiving from God. It wasn't what he was giving out, but it was what he was taking in from God. 1 Corinthians 11:23 starts this way. Paul says, "For what I received from the Lord, I also delivered to you." And I learned a long time ago that that is the game plan for ministry. It's I receive, and then I'm able to give out of what I receive. What did Paul receive? He says this, "I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus on the night when he was betrayed took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is broken for you, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, also, he took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood.'" That's why we can receive from God. It's because Jesus died for us, and his death ushered in a new covenant where we were no longer enemies of God, but we actually get to be in the family of God. So every time we come together and remember and celebrate through communion, we're remembering what we've received. We've received redemption. We've received justification and pardon. We've received adoption into the family of God, all through the new covenant that's been established by the shed blood of Jesus. So Jesus says, "Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." And so tonight, when we have communion, communion is an act of corporate receiving. I love that everything about communion requires you to receive. I love that communion is given to us by another person. So we have to receive from someone else in the body of Christ to actually experience this thing that Jesus calls us to remember. Everything about communion is reminded for us to remember that our posture before God is receiving first. And out of what we receive, we're able to minister. We're able to serve. We're able to bear fruit. So tonight, for all who have received Jesus, we're going to take communion. Why? Because we need to remember that we have received, and we need to celebrate that. And so when we do that, we're a dipping church, not a sipping church. I always like to remind people of that if it's your first time. Don't wrestle the bottle from them. Our volunteers will win. Don't wrestle the bottle from them. They'll give you a piece of bread that represents the body of Christ. And you can dip that into the wine or to the juice. The wine is in a taller glass. It looks like a wine glass. The juice is in a goblet. And as you dip that, it's a remembrance of the covenant that you have through the shed blood of Jesus Christ that you have received. And we celebrate that together. And as we do that, we're going to sing some songs together and worship God and experience more of Him even in this moment right now. So as the volunteers take their place, communion is open in Florence and in Oakley. God bless you. Receive.
You are worthy of it all.
You. teach you guys a teach you.
Oh, hold on a second.
It's a real simple song. It goes like this.
Lord, we need your touch. Lord, we need your touch. You're reaching out to us. Oh, Lord, we need your touch.
Your touch,
your touch brings freedom, and your touch brings passion. Your touch, it is the answer to the hunger in our hearts, oh Lord. The hunger in our hearts, oh Lord.
That verse again, Lord, we need your touch.
Oh, Lord, we need your touch. Oh, Lord, we need your touch.
You're reaching
out to us. Oh, Lord, we need your touch. Brings passion, and your touch, it is the answer to the hunger in my heart. So oh Lord, we need your grace. Oh Lord, we need your grace. Yeah, Lord, we need your grace. Your merciful embrace. Oh Lord, we need your grace. Your grace. Your grace brings forgiveness. Your grace brings acceptance. Is the answer to the hunger in our hearts, so Lord. Lord, we need your power. Oh Lord, we need your power. Lord, we need your power. Your freedom in this hour.
Sing that. We need. Thank you.
For from you are all things, to you are all things, you deserve the glory. You're worthy of it all. You're worthy of it all. For from you are all things, to you are all things, you deserve the glory. You're worthy of it all. And to you are all things, you deserve the glory.
Yes, God. We need you. We need you. Hey, I just want to encourage you on a couple things. First, if you don't have a group of folks that you can kind of exchange and dialogue with, like what happened here tonight, I want you to know right after this, you can go over to Meeting Room C. We have a Find a Group event that happens where you can connect up with some folks. There's going to be more experiments around receiving that you'll get via text if you sign up for that text. And then you can meet with folks later on in the month to process that together. We'd love for you to not leave until you get connected with a group. Meeting Room C right after this. The next thing is we've got prayer volunteers that would love to pray with you, that would love to just come alongside you and pray with you right after the service. They're going to be down front, and the band will probably play for a little bit, and they're going to pray until the last person is prayed for. Is that right, prayer team? That's what I'm talking about. So if you need that, want that, if you want that touch, sometimes that happens when you're willing to come with another person and say, hey, would you pray for me? So I want you to know those two opportunities are available to you. God, I thank you for tonight. I thank you that you are a God who speaks, that you are a God who communicates, and that we can receive from you. Thank you that we have received your touch tonight. And yes, we want more. God, bless each person who's come, who's received, those who are still trying to figure out what does it look like for me to put myself in a position to receive. God, bless us all on this journey. Thank you. You are a good, good God. Amen. Amen. Thank you guys for coming.
Lord, we need your touch. Lord, we need your touch. You're reaching out to us.
Your kingdom in this hour.